The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
I'm going to the book of Micah chapter 7, and let's begin reading verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. When I fall, I will arise. You've got to get back up. You cannot, when you get knocked down, lay there defeated. I ask God today in prayer that He would give us a victory in people's lives that cannot be reversed, that we would gain ground that cannot be regained by the enemy this morning in this service. You know, the Bible said that the yoke would be destroyed in Isaiah 10 because of the anointing. He didn't say it would be broken. If something's broken, it can be repaired. But if it's destroyed, that thing can never be yoked back on you again. And that's the kind of service that I'm praying for. I want to say this verse means so much to me. When I am knocked down, don't rejoice over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. It's no embarrassment for you to be down from time to time. It's no disgrace to be down from time to time. It's no failure to get news, to get a phone call, to have something happen that so changes your world and your life that you go down. Emotionally, spiritually, in every way, it feels like the breath has been knocked out of you. But it is totally unacceptable for the child of God, and it is extremely dangerous to stay down. You can get down, but you can't stay down, because you have this verse, don't you rejoice over me, my enemies. When I fall, I will arise. The Bible lets us know that our permanent place is not down, but we are to arise. And I'm preaching today on get up. Get up. Get up. Man encountered one of his friends and he said, how you been doing? And he said, well, under the circumstances, I've been doing pretty good. And the man said, well, what are you doing under there? When you understand that it doesn't matter what your circumstances are, there's victory in Jesus. It doesn't matter what the latest attack is in your life. When you have Jesus, you have victory. You have the power to overcome. You have the power to get back up. And when he said this, he said something powerful. When I sit in darkness, he will be, Jesus will be, the Lord will be a light unto me. I'm preaching today that the oldest of you, the weakest of you, the youngest of you can do what the devil cannot do. The devil has fallen and he can't get back up. He was in heaven and cast out, and he can't get back up there. But if you've fallen, you can do what the devil cannot do. You can get back up. You can say, God, I'm going to regather my life, and through you, I can regain and be restored in my soul. He fell, but he couldn't get back up. You can get back up. You see, I think sometimes the devil starts his celebration over our life too early. He sees us down. He sees us addicted. He sees us bound. He sees the enemy destroying marriages and families and enslaving young people to addictions that are destroying their life. And I just want to say off of this verse, devil, don't pop the cork on your champagne bottle too early. Don't throw the confetti too early over me or over my family or over the vision and over the dream that you've given your people. Hallelujah. Don't you rejoice over me, oh my enemies, for when I fall, I'll get back up, and when I'm in darkness, the sun is going to shine again. If you believe it, say amen, somebody. Would you turn to somebody and say, you have got to get up. Can't lay there forever. You can't stay there forever. I'm on a mandate today. I'm a 747. I take off slow, but I know where I'm going, and I'm going to get there. I'm not a helicopter preacher. I'm getting there. I'm laying my foundation. I'm informing devils and demons today that you depression cannot rule and reign over people's lives. Suicidal thoughts and discouragement and defeat. You don't have to live in that. You see, when a sheep's wool becomes excessive and it becomes so weighty with that wool, it can cause them to tip over on their back. And once they're on their back, they're vulnerable to disease and to danger and to predators that are watching them. And so that's why the Bible compares a pastor to a shepherd. And it compares Jesus as the good shepherd. And a good shepherd cares for the sheep. And not only does he protect, and not only does he provide and lead them and guide them, but a good shepherd shears the sheep so that they don't get entangled in things that they don't need to get entangled in, and they end up falling over and be prey for the enemy. And today, I didn't just come to bless you. I came to shear you. I'm here today to tell you that sometimes you have to cut off some entanglements with people and things and situations and bondages in your life. You have to say, I love you, but I can't stay there for the rest of my life in that darkness and in that depression and in that addiction with you. So I'm going to get sheared and I'm going to get set free and I'm getting back on my feet again. The main job of a shepherd is to keep the sheep on his feet. Because if he doesn't keep the sheep on its feet, then the wolf can get to it. And that's why I came in here today with an urgency. I feel like that I cannot let you wallow in it. I cannot let you lay down in it. I cannot let you just lose your faith. You've got to get back on your feet. Somebody needs to find their faith feet in this place and say, I'm not going to lay down, I'm standing up, because I know God is for me and I know that through the cross he has conquered the power of Satan in my life. I told some people yesterday that the only thing meaner than a preacher is a nurse. Because if you're sitting in the hospital and you've been carved up like a Thanksgiving turkey, and you've just had surgery, those nurses will walk in, and one of the first things they're going to say is, you got to get up, honey. You're not going to lay there in your wound and in your blood and in your, you'll get pneumonia if you don't get up. You can get sicker and sicker if you don't get up. You can lose hope in ever getting on your feet again if you don't get up right now. Come on, get up. I've actually had them when I was trying to pray for people in the hospital. They've actually said, excuse me, I've got to get them up. And that's what I'm doing in this place today. I'm not playing games this morning. The Bible tells you that your permanent place is not down. I know you've been through divorce. I know you've been through pain. Some of you have been through bad news and bad things have happened, and bankruptcy and disease and sickness and all kinds of stuff can hit your life. But that does not mean down is your destiny. Your destiny is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I'm preaching, get back on your feet again this morning. Somebody clap your hands and say amen. Don't fight your pastor when he's trying to get you back on your feet. Well, pastor, I have a right to be depressed. No, you don't. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. That's what I'm preaching today. We're going to get up. Samson illustrates the high cost of a haircut. He laid his head down in the lap of a deceiver, and his hair wasn't trimmed, it was shaved. And he broke his covenant because his covenant said, God, I make a pledge and a vow to you that if I don't cut the seven locks off and I'll keep consecrations that I've made to you. And as long as he had the long hair, he had the power to defeat his enemy. But when he laid down and when the enemy got him down, and man, he took him way down and cut off those seven locks of hair. When he awoke, the chains were on him like times before, but he couldn't break the chains. And when the Philistines came to arrest him, he could easily throw them off and kill them, but this time something had changed. He was down and he was defeated, and they took him and they plucked his eyeballs out. And I want you to think, the Bible said they bound him, and then they blinded him, and then they bewildered him, because they put him down in a dungeon, and he was on a wheel that was a stone that was crushing wheat for the Philistines to be fed. He was feeding his enemies. And I want you to see it. That's what the enemy wants to do to us. That's what Satan wants to do to everyone. He wants to bind you. You have no liberty. He wants to blind you. You lose your vision. You don't know where you're going, and bewilder you, just going in circles. Nothing ever good is going to change. Nothing ever is going to happen in my life. And some of you, the enemy, you played right into his hands. He's bound you. You don't know what liberty is. He has blinded you. You don't know, and you don't have vision for your life anymore because of the enemy's knocked you down. And he's got you bewildered. You don't know what direction you need to go in this season of your life. You're the one I'm preaching to. The scripture said that in that moment that he made up his mind, Samson refused to die. He refused to go down in defeat. Something in him said, God, if you'll touch me one more time. That's what I love about God. The scripture said about Jonah, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. And I've heard preachers preach, he's the God of a second chance, and they're right. But there's a sermon better than he's the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance and another chance and another chance. And I don't care how many times you failed, he'll give you another chance. The Bible puts it like this in Proverbs, the righteous man falls seven times a day, but he keeps getting back up. You won't be defeated if you'll get back up and call on the Lord. How many of you believe that? I mean, I'm coming today for the down. I'm coming for the distress. I'm coming for the depressed. I'm coming for the discouraged. And I shout in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get up. You see, Samson couldn't get the victory by himself after he failed. And he found a lad, and he said to the lad when they took him to the temple of Dagon, listen, the Philistines, the temple of Dagon would seat about 3,000 people. I've actually seen the remains of it, and it would, or some of the remains of the place, and it would seat around, they believe, 3,000 people. So all of the chief Philistines, all of the war generals, they gathered together, and this room seats 3,000. And so it was a setting much like this. And off to the side, they had Samson bound with chains, blinded, brought him out of the dungeon. He's been down for so long. The enemy's, why did you do that? You messed up so bad. You messed up your whole life. And there was a lad that grabbed him like a dog on a chain and pulled him out from the side curtain. And he walks out in the temple of Dagon, a idol god. And there, the Bible said the Philistines were making sport of him. They were making fun of him. They were laughing. They were cheering as he walked out blind, bound. But remember Micah 7 in verse 8, rejoice not over me, O my enemies. For when I fall, the devil should have left him alone. But he said, when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. And he said to that younger kid that led him out there, son, as they're mocking him and calling him names, he said, put my hands on the pillars of this temple. And he couldn't see it, but that little kid, see, I see a joining of the old and the young and the old for revival. And they're about to tear the devil's playhouse down because he was, the enemy said he was finished, but you got to understand, he's getting back up. I like that song, get up, get up, get up, get up out of your grave. We're going to sing it before we leave here this morning. Turn to somebody and say, get up, get up, get up. Woo. Hallelujah. I can't get the victory sometimes by myself. And sometimes we need to recognize that there's a new generation. And instead of resisting them and rejecting them and criticizing them and condemning all of our young people, we need to not be that voice. We need to say, it's time for you to preach. It's time for you to sing. It's time for you to get on the stage. It's time for you to take over. It's time for you to lead revival. It's time for you. And he couldn't have gotten this victory by himself. It was the older guy joining with the younger guy. And the young boy told him where to put his hands, and he tore the pillars down. And the Bible said the roof fell and killed their entire leadership of the Philistine army. All of their national leaders were dead in one moment, and Samson slew more in his death than he did in his life. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that it's time for young people to lead this generation. And we need to turn them loose. Let me tell you what that looks like. I'm going somewhere. Wait a minute. Now, the Bible said that on one occasion before he was captured by the Philistines, that he caught 300 foxes. Have you ever read this in the Bible? He caught 300 foxes and he tied their tails together. Two by two, 150 paired up. First of all, he caught them. The thing we've got to do with a new generation is we've got to catch them with a fresh vision. We've got to catch them with a purpose. We've got to catch them and inspire them. They don't want to be a part of a losing church. Who wants to be a part of a losing church? Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'm preaching that we're going to capture a new generation. And then he tied their tails together, which means they weren't looking at each other and criticizing one another, but one was back to back against the other. Do you hear me out there? And they were focused on having each other's back. He caught them. He tied them. We've got to tie a new generation to prayer. We've got to tie a new generation to God's house. We've got to tie a new generation to opening up this book and reading it because it is the greatest success manual you will ever find. No matter what you're going through, this book has the answer. If you read it, it reads you. If you dust off this book, it'll clean up your life. You will be amazed at how God will speak to you if you'll just open it and read it. He caught them. I want such a revival spirit in this church that when young people come, something inside of them, there's a calling inside of them, a purpose inside of them that is awakened and stirred in these services. He called them, he tied them. They've got to be tied to discipline, tied to being strong Christians, tied to the house of God and the Word of God and prayer and Bible reading. Let's go back to the old basics of Christianity. Tied to being a witness. And then he did something powerful. He set their tails on fire. He took fire. This is awful. They would call PETA on you very quick. But this is what he did. He took a torch and lit their tails on fire and sent them into the harvest fields of the Philistines to burn their fields down. So we've got to catch them, we've got to tie them, and then we've got to fire them. We need our young people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, the Holy Spirit and fire. There is nothing that will make a young person more on fire for God than the fire of the Holy Spirit. He caught them. He tied them. He fired them. And he released them into the fields, a type of the world that's lost. They became a part of hell's greatest nightmare. I believe in this generation. I believe that God has a plan that cannot be stopped. But we've got to get back up. He still wants to give you another chance, just like he did Samson, just like he did Jonah. It's time to get up. In 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 22, the Bible said there was a man by the name of Benaiah. And he was one of David's mighty men, and the scripture said that he not only fought two lion-like men, this guy was a warrior, heroes of the Moab army, but he went down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. I want you to listen to this. The scripture said this man jumped down into a pit. Everything in this story is to the advantage of the lion. If you're going to fight a lion, fight him on your turf, not on his turf. The pit was where he was living. He could just leap right out of it. But once the man got in it, there are no stairways, no elevators. It's fight or die. But he jumped down into the pit. Everybody say he went down. But he refused to stay down. And the scripture said it was a snowy day. He couldn't get any traction. And he's going to fight a lion, a 600-pound animal that can kill you and rip you to pieces. And the scripture said that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But watch this. It was his coldest day, it was snowing. And it was his lowest day. And I'm preaching to some people today who are watching me and hearing me in this room, and it's some of the coldest, lowest days of your life. And I believe God sent me to tell you this morning that in your lowest and in your coldest days, this man Benaiah said, through God's help, I can still slay this lion. When I'm at my coldest and I'm at my lowest, he is for me, he is with me, and I am cold. Sometimes you just feel cold. You feel like God doesn't hear you. You feel like, is he real? Is he there? I don't feel like that anymore. I've actually learned that when I feel like that, that's when his eyes are really on me. And that's when I need to get up on my faith feet and say, you know what? I'm not going to let this lion destroy my life. I may be cold and I may be at a place where I feel like that I'm at my lowest. But God is for me. And I will arise. I'm tired of being down. Some of you have been a little cold and a little down, but you don't have to stay down. Make sure that you're not sitting by somebody that's enjoying their defeat. We have got to get to the place that we stop making excuses. I have a right to be hurt. I have a right to not have any hope for the future. I'm preaching to some young person. I hate the depression that's trying to take over a whole generation. And I'm telling you, you have got to get up. It's time. If you lay there, I'm your nurse coming in your room, and I'm saying, you've got to get up. I know the pain was real, but it's not the end. Don't rejoice over me, oh my enemy. I may be low and cold, but I still have faith, and all things are possible to him that believes. I'm preaching to people right now that need this message. You're watching me by television, and you don't know what you're going to do, and you don't know where you're going to turn, and there are single mothers in this room at your lowest and at your coldest. But God has his hand on your life. Everybody say, I'm tired of being down. It's time to get up. Get up, get up out of that grave. And the church said, amen. Amen. Clap your hands and praise the Lord. You believe that? Watch this. I want everyone in this room to stand to your feet very reverently for a moment. Watch this, watch this. The moment, listen now, the moment that you get your faith feet under you and say, I'm not staying down, I'm getting up, God will come running. His grace, His mercy, His cleansing, His forgiveness, He will come running to you. And over the time that I've been preaching this morning, I realize that there are people under the sound of my voice that this is not just another message. This is a word from God for your life right here, right now. And I feel an urgency about it. I feel like telling you, you've got to get up. You've got to. And God's got the grace for you to do it this morning. Get up out of that grave of drug addiction. Get out of that grave of failure in the past. Get out of it. You can be free. You're blind, you're bound, you're bewildered, but God has a plan for the next phase of your life that will blow your mind if you make Him number one in your life. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you know this message is for you, I got to obey the Lord this morning. If you know that you've been at your coldest and at your lowest, this could be your moment that God's grace reaches way down and lifts you up and lifts you out. I believe it is that moment. Pastor, pray for me. Listen to me. I'm not right with God. I know I'm not right with God. And I want to surrender my life to Him. I want to be forgiven. I want to be cleansed. I want my vision back. I want my freedom back. I don't want to go in circles. I want that bewilderment to leave and the next step be ordered by the Lord. I surrender to Him. If that's you, and you know that's you, and you've been down, and you know this message is for you, I want you to say, Lord, here I am. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to get right with you. If that's who you are, if you know that is you I'm speaking to, I want you to boldly lift your hand up in recognition. I need him now, right here, right now. So many hands. Beautiful, 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 powerful, in overflow, powerful. Every one of you that raised your hand, there's no gimmick. Nobody's going to put any pressure on you. But if you mean business, you've got faith feet right now. You've got faith feet right where you're standing right now. And even at your coldest and at your lowest, God is saying, come unto me and I'll give you rest. So every one of you that raised your hand, slip out of your seat and come stand right down here in the front. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I know God's going to hear that prayer. Beautiful. Come on. Beautiful. Oh, I love seeing these young people. Here they come. Here they come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Clap your hands, church. You know heaven is taking a praise break. Wow. Come on. Come on. It's not complicated. It's so simple. Give him your life. He's been thinking about you all week. He's been shifting things in your life so that you would be here this morning. He knows everything about you and he loves you. Oh, let's praise him in this place. Somebody's son, somebody's daughter, help them, ushers. Get them in. I want them all down here. This is beautiful.
You've been right here. He didn't desert you. He didn't give up on you.
pray this prayer with me. Those of you who've come forward, everybody listening now, wherever you're watching this, in the prison, you're at your coldest, you're at your lowest. You never dreamed you'd find yourself, but it may just be the place that the greatest miracle of your life happens. Right there where you are in that prison, when it seems so cold and so low, Jesus is reaching his nail-scarred hand for you. He sees you. He sees you, women, in that prison. He knows how you hate yourself. And he wants you to come up now. It's time to get up. It's time to get up. It's time to believe God. He's going to give you faith feet, and you're going to get out of there. You're going to be a changed person in Jesus' name. I believe I'll see you right here at Free Chapel one of these days by God's grace. It's happening every week. Are you ready? You ready to get up? Say, don't rejoice over me, oh my enemy. Say that. Don't rejoice over me, oh my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Now put your hand on your heart and just pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender to your will, to your way. I don't know how to do this, so I just give up. But I'm ready for change. I'm ready to be born again. I'm ready to get up out of the grave of my past. You're ready to do a new thing. And my soul says yes to your will and to your way. Say this now. I am forgiven through the cross and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of my faith is in him. And I receive what he purchased on Calvary's cross. Say this, I am forgiven. I am washed. I am a child of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.